Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Chof. We're beginning six lines from the top of Chof Omer Aleph with the words Omer Rechista. We remind ourselves what we're talking about as soon as we go through the first few lines of the Gemara. Omer Rechista tells us, Get Shekisavo Shelo Lishma. If a husband wrote a get that wasn't Lishma, it was for a different woman, or they found a get that was been written for a different woman. So Rechista says, if you wanted to try to make this kosher by writing on top of it over it again, so there was a get written from Yaakov to Sarah, and this get was not going to be valid the way it is, but if you were to write over it and take black ink and go and write over on that spot every word that Yaakov had written originally for that Sarah, you could make it possibly a kosher get or not. That's going to be totally on the following machlokas. The Hevra will love kulmus lishma. Now you rewrite this get, not by writing a new get, but just by writing each letter over again, taking ink and writing through each letter again, the hever olav kulmus lishma. If you do that lishma, is that good or is that not good? That's a machlokas. Rav Chista wants to tell us, banu l'machlokas v'hudu rabbanu. This would be the machlokas that we're about to say from the following brisa between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in regards to if you wrote the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a Sefer Torah or in a tefillin or in a mezuzah, so the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, has to be written over as lishma. So let's say you didn't write it lishma, and now you wrote it over again. You took the Yud Kei Vav Kei that you had written out, not lishma, it's no good, and now you take a pen and write over those letters again. Yud Kei Vav Kei Lishma. Is that good or not? That's a machlokas of Yudin Chacham. The Tanya. Learning the following brisa. This is a Gemara that we have in Gemara in Shabbos. We'll have it later on Masechta as well, and it comes from Maseches Sofer, and it tells us there. Harei Shahaya Tzarich Lichtov Es Hashem. If a person was intending to write the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but by accident, V'niskavein Lichtov Yehuda, he mistakenly thought that the word wasn't Yud Kei Vav Kei, he misread it when he was writing it down, he thought he was supposed to write over here the word Yehuda. Now Yehuda is spelled Yud Kei Vav Dalet Kei. So you have over here the word Yehuda is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu plus the Dalet. So he was intending to write Yehuda, but he left out the Dalet, V'tah v'lo etil bo Dalet. So he left out the Dalet, and he actually wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. It was supposed to have been Yud Kei Vav Kei, but he didn't do it l'shma of Yud Kei Vav Kei. He did it l'shem Yehuda, and he left out the Dalet. So now, bottom line is, you have the Yud Kei Vav Kei written there, not l'shma. So, according to the Tanakhama of Yehuda, Ma'avir olav kulmis u'mekatcho. All you have to do is take your pen, redo the lettering, write over the originally not lishma Yud Kei Vav Kei. Go and write it now l'shem Yud Kei Vav Kei l'shem the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would be perfectly good. Mikacho, you will now make it into a valid Yud Kei Vav Kei, even though it originally wasn't. But you're writing over that Yud Kei Vav Kei again on that same exact lettering that was originally not lishma, but you're rewriting it over it lishma. That's acceptable. Divrei Yehuda. However, the Chacham disagree. Chacham omrim ein Hashem min hamuvchar. That is not considered min hamuvchar. In other words, according to some, that's certainly not good l'chachila. It might be good b'di'evet. Or others say, no, it's not good at all. And it just uses this lashon of ein Hashem min hamuvchar. That's not a proper way to write the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, Rav Chisda says, that seems to be the machlokis over here. According to Rav Yehuda, Mistama, he would say that just like it was good by the Yud Kei Vav Kei, so too by the get. It originally wasn't lishma, now you have your olav kulmus lishma, it would be good. And according to the Chachamim, just like it's not good by the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it wouldn't be good by the get. That's what Rav Chisda wanted to suggest. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, maybe not. Duma lohi. In fact, maybe that conclusion of Rav Chisda is incorrect, because Ad kan lo kamar rabbanan hosom, and the Bachet's the words Ela. Only over there did the Chachamim say that writing the Yud Kei Vav Kei originally not Lishma, and now writing it Lishma is considered Ein Hashem Min Hamuvchar, it's not good, is because there's a specific imperative to write the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. The Be'ina, because we need Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. This is my God, and I will go and glorify Him. In other words, the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be written, as Rashi says, Hisnoa lefana v'mitzvos. You should do the mitzvos perfectly and well. And therefore, writing the Yud Kei Vav Kei, not Lishma, and then tracing over it again and writing the Yud Kei Vav Kei, now Lishma, that's pasnish. Zeh Kei Livanveyu isn't fulfilled by such a writing. However, in that situation, Veleka, you don't have it, Zeh Kei Livanveyu, in that situation. But a get doesn't require Zeh Kei Livanveyu. A get is unfortunately something that separates a husband from a wife. It's not a mitzvah to be megarish under most circumstances, and therefore it's a sad thing. And therefore you don't require Zeh Kei Livanveyu. So maybe the Chachamim who said that by Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have to have Zeh Kei Livanveyu, maybe they agree, and they would hold that by a get, it actually is good, like you attributed to Rav Yehuda. Aval Hacha, in regards to, again, maybe not, lo, maybe the Chacham would actually agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Ruch Chisda, you're not right to say that this discussion is a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Another statement from Ruch Chisda, Ruch Chisda, I could actually go and find fault with all the gittim that are written in the world if I wish to, because there are two potential problems with them. So, Amalei Rava, Rava says, why? My timer, why are you finding such problems? I think I know what your two reasons are, and in fact, they're not problems. Are you going to say the first reason why you want to passel all the gittin is because Ilema Mishum Dechsev Vekosav? The Pasuk says, Vekosav Lo Sefer Krisus. The Pasuk tells us that the man has to go and write a get for the woman. Now, that implies that it has to come from him. The get has to be owned by him, and nowadays, Vahacha Ihi Kosva Le. Nowadays, we've gone away from the halachically correct way, and because of iguna, which I'll explain in a moment, so we now make the woman pay for the get. Min hadin, the cost of law sefer krisus, the husband has to own the get, he has to pay for the get, and it should come from him, and he gives it to his wife. However, the rabbis were concerned, as Rashi points out, and Diri Amaskel, Ihi Kosule, no senis schar hasofer. The woman nowadays, the rabbi said, the women should have to go pay for the writing of the get. Why is that? Because the Gemara in Get Pashut, in Bava Basra, tells us, Mishum takonos agudos. What's going to happen? The husband somewhat reluctantly is divorcing his wife. Now, she wants that divorce at this point in time very badly. It allows her to go get married to somebody else, and it makes her into a free woman. But let's say, if there's arguments as to who should pay for the get being written, so the husband says, I'm not writing the get. You want it, you pay for it. And she doesn't say, no, you're supposed to pay for it. And therefore, it could leave Rahman al-Islam the situation where she doesn't get a get, the husband goes off on his business trip or whatever he's doing, and she's left in aguna. She's not getting a divorce. So therefore, the rabbis were misakin that the woman pays for the get. Now, Rava says, is this your problem, Rav Chisda? You're saying that technically the get has to come from the husband, and by the fact that the rabbi said that the wife is paying for the get, that would technically ruin it? V'hacha ihi ka kosvale, and therefore, it technically doesn't fulfill the cost of law sefer krisus? No. The dilma may be aknu le rabbanin. In fact, because, as Rashi says, the powers of based in hefker, based in hefker, how zuza mi di da? This zuz, which she paid for, the hefker based in Hoyah Hefker. So, in fact, she paid for it, but the rabbi said, it's as if he paid for it, because they made the money that she gave to the sofer to pay for it, as if he gave that money to the sofer through the powers of Bezdin, that they have the right to say hefker based in hefker, that Bezdin can say, for financial things, the money doesn't belong to Reuven, it belongs to Shimon. So they say, technically, the money didn't belong to Sarah, who paid for the get. It was really Reuven, her husband, who owns the get. And therefore, is that your concern, Rabbi says to Rav Chisda? Because it's not because of what? Didn't come from the husband? No, because of Hefker Beis and Hefker, it does come from the husband. So if that was your reasoning that you could possibly all the gates in the world, I don't think that's appropriate. That's not a valid way to do it. Aye, what's your second possibility? Because it says that the husband has to give it to her, and the Nosan normally implies a davar choshev. As Rashi says, the Nosan implies a bar nesina, shehei shava pruta. It has to be something that's worthwhile. It has to be worth a penny. And technically, the get, the paper that the get is written on, might not be worth a penny. So is that your reasoning? Rava says to Rav Chisda that technically the husband is not giving her something that's worth a penny, and therefore it's not fulfilling the Nosan? V'hocha lo yav lo midi, this is considered worth nothing. So Gemara says, no. Rava answers back. He says, Dilma, in fact, when the Pasuk says v'nosan, it really means just what it says. V'nosan, he has to give it to her. Dilma, nesinas get, he. All it is that he has to go give her the get. She can't pick it up herself. He has to give it to her, but lav davka doesn't mean it has to be a davar choshev. And Rava says, I'll show you that I'm right, teida, because the shalchu mitam, they sent over from Eretz Yisrael, this usually means for Rabbi Elazar, they sent over from Eretz Yisrael the following statement, kisavo al isuri hanoa kosher. If you were to write the get on something that is also banoa, machlokus amongst the poskim, whether this is an Issa Daraisa, an Issa Hanoa, or only an Issa Darabana, an Issa Hanoa, leave that aside for right now. If you write it on something for which you're not letting out Hanoa from, nevertheless, kosher, it's a valid get. And therefore, even though you are over the idea over here of Issa Hanoa, bottom line is, it's a valid get. So you see that it doesn't have to be worth something, because if it's an Issa Hanoa, it's worth nothing. So therefore, you see clearly that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar sent, that in fact, it is a valid get, even if it's an Issa Hanoa, and therefore, this vinosan can't be that it has to be something worth a shavapruta, because by definition, they said, even if it's not shavapruta, even if it's an isser hana, nevertheless, it's a valid get. So Rav Chista, you're saying you could schlug up all the git in the world. So Rava says, those are your two reasons. Neither of them, in fact, is correct. Now, Gufa, now let's go back and analyze what they sent from Eretz Yisrael. Shalach mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael, as I said, this usually is Rabbi Lazar, so they sent the following thing, k'savu al isurei hanah, kosher, that if you sent it on something that was also banot, it's worth nothing, nevertheless, it is a kosher get. Amar Vashi, Ravashi comments, and he says, we learned the same thing. Apadan nami tinina, we learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said, al ha'ole shozais, if you wrote the get on a detached leaf of an olive tree. So you didn't have the problem of being attached. It was detached. As Tosus had pointed out, and this Tosus will be on Chof Omid Beis over here, the Tosus had said, this type of a leaf is a more permanent type of a structure. It doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't spoil. And therefore, if you were to write it on an ole shozais, which is not worth a shava pruta, it is kosher. So, therefore, Ravashi says, our Mishnah seems to support what they said from Eretz Yisrael. This Olah Shozayis is not worth a Shavu Pruta, and yet it's a perfectly kosher get. So where it says, Lavdavka. Dilma, because you could argue, maybe, Shinei Olah Shozayis. It's different with this leaf of a Zayis, because yes, a single leaf of a Zayis is not worth a Shavu Pruta. However, you could combine it. The Chazei Litz Tarufei. You could combine it with a whole bunch of other olive leaves. As Rashi says, Dibra Maso Dechazi Listerufe, Im Alin Harbe. If you combined it with a whole bunch of other olive leaves, and then you could use it as a mattress, Lishko Valein, to go and lie on it, Olamaycha Behemo, or to give it to your animals to feed. Ay, Biafa Gab, the low Shavu Pruta, even though each Ale of Zayis itself is not worth the Shavu Pruta, Avol Isur Hanah, lo. But you can't compare this to an Isur Hanah because it has the potential to combine to be worth the Shavu Pruta, so you can't bring a Raya from a Mishnah that, in fact, Isur Hanah acceptable. Not saying that it's wrong, but you can't bring a Raya from a Mishnah. Now we learn the following Brayso. Tanya, we learned Rabbi Omer, Rabbi taught us in the following brayso, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Kisov al Yisur Hanah Kosher. He also agreed with what they said from Eretz Yisrael, that if you wrote it on something that's also banah, it in fact is kosher. Now Levi, who was a star pupil of Rabbi, Nafak Levi, Levi went out and Darsha Mishmei the Rabbi, and he taught this to everybody they could in the name of Rabbi. However, Velo Kaslua, the people were not happy with this. As Rashi says, Mishum the Omer law, Mishma d'yichida, since he said it over in the name of just Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so therefore it implied, this is one of the ways to understand this, there are a number of ways to understand this, we'll just learn it simple, it implied that the Rabbim disagreed with him, and therefore the people weren't happy about this, and they didn't praise him for saying this over just in the name of Rabbi. Others suggest that it wasn't only Rabbi, they had sent over from Eretz Yisrael, it was Rabbi Lazar and others as well, so therefore he should have said it over in the name of the Rabbim. So therefore they were unhappy below Kalsua, they didn't praise him for saying this din. However, Mishmei the Rabbim, he then changed his way of teaching it, and he taught it in the name of the Rabbim, like I just said. He taught it in the name of Rebbe, and from Eretz Yisrael, from Rabbi Elazar and others. So he now taught it in the name of the Rabbim, and Vekalsu. Everybody was very happy, because this was the Halacha L'maisa, now reflecting the approach of the Rabbim. There are a number of other ways to learn this. As I said, some of them are very difficult to understand, that one, for example, is that it really wasn't said in the name of Rabbim, but he said it over the name of Rabbim anyway, because if you're certain of the din, you're actually allowed to go and say it over in the name of the Rabbim, so it'll be accepted. It's very hard to understand that. In any event, we'll just learn it nice and simple. He originally said it over the name of the Yochid Rebbe, when he should have said it over the name of the Rabbim, Eretz Yisrael plus Rebbe, and therefore, when he said it over the name of the Rabbim, everybody was happy, because Suha, they praised him. How do we paskin? Alma hilchoso kevose. We see that the halacha is, in fact, like this opinion that Levi brought down in the name of Rebbe, in the name of the Rabbim. Mark continues, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa. The pasuk says, v'kosav, you have to write, v'kosav lo sei v'krisus, that implies it has to be a writing, v'lo chokak, and not to chisel it out, not to go and dig it out of an already existing structure. So, it seems the chakika is no good. This chiseling it out is no good. So, Mark says, really? That implies that in general, this chakika doesn't have the status of writing, because you have to write the get, and if your chakika is no good, that would apply. The chakika is not writing. But I'll show you that that's not true. Uriminu, we have another braisa that seems to say that it in fact is a valid writing. Where is this? It says the following. Eved shiotza b'chsav sh'al gabi tavlo pinchas. If an eved went out with a document that says he is now freed, he's no longer an eved kanani, but he's now a eved b'shuchrar, he's a freed slave, and this document was written al gabi tavla. Tavla is like some sort of a board, or pinchas is some sort of a tablet of some sort. In other words, it went on a document that was chiseled out. So yotza l'cheiros, it is a valid document. What's not good is avalo bichtav shalgabi kippa v'an duchtari. But if it was embroidered on top of an existing sweater, let's say, and you embroidered it on, either on this kippa, which is a certain type of hat, or an duchtari, which Rashi tells us is a tachshe, some sort of a ornament, and you would go and engrave, embroider on these types of documents, Rashi points out why it's no good, because you really don't have anything there substantive. It's really just two threads that are going through, then it's not substantive. But it says the chakika on Gabi Tadlo or Pinkas on this tablet or on this ledger, so those are in fact perfectly good. So Kasha, you're saying Kosav lo chakak, it's no good. And here it says that if you wrote it Al Gabi Tadlo or Pinkas, which is also chakika, it is good. So we have a steer between the two brises. So I'm a Ula, I'm a Yazar, Lokasha. It's not a steer between two brises. They're talking about different types of this chiseling out, of this type of engraving. The first brice, so we said, Kosav lo chokak, that's talking about ha, the chok, tochos. What you basically did over here is you have this tablet and you chisel out the area next to where the letters would be. So you basically are removing the wood, let's say, on this tablet, and you're left with, in relief, the letters sticking out. But you didn't carve those letters out. You got rid of the surrounding area around them. That's called chok, you engraved, tochos, the inside and the outside of these letters. So therefore, what is left is the letter standing in relief. But the wood was removed. It was not part of the letter. That's not called writing. That, therefore, the brisa says, kosav lo chokak. But the second brisa, it said it's acceptable to have the ksav of the get shichur for the eved, agabi tablo pinkas, is the ha, the chok, yurechos. You, in fact, engraved the actual letter of the document, and that is, in fact, perfectly kosher, because chakika like that is considered ksiva. More questions, this says, really? The chok tochos, if you blocked out, you erased out the surrounding letter, so you're left in relief with the letter sticking out, projecting. That's no good. That's not called writing. That's not called kesiva. The tochos low, if you do chok tochos, it's no good. Urminu, I'll show you that that's also seemingly contradicted by another brisa, because this brisa says, in regards to the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, loya kesavo shokeya, the name of Kodesh Lashem that was written on the tzitz, the frontlet of the Kohen Gadol, it didn't have it written in a way that it was pushed in, shokeya, Ella, it was bolated, projected out. The letters, Kodesh Hashem, were not pushed in, they were pushed out. Ella bolated, projected out, just like the figures that are on a coin. Kedin Rezov, like the figures that are on these golden dinarim, so they're pushed out. So too, the tzitz, the letters, Kodesh Hashem, were pushed out. Now, Vaha Din Rezov, Tocho saying, the way that they would make the coins with the images on the coins is that they would press down on the surrounding gold, and what was left was projecting out, was not really created, it was just not pushed out like the surrounding areas. That's chok tochos. And it says that that's perfectly good by the Kohen Gadol tzitz, because it says it's like the dinarim. The dinarim are chok tochos, the tzitz was chok tochos, and that had to be, as Rashi tells us, pituchei chosam. It had to be written like a signature. And therefore, obviously, this is considered kesiva. So it says, no. When we said over here that the Kohen Gadol's tzis was like the Din Rezov, it was like it in some ways, but not in other ways. Kidin Rezov, below Kidin Rezov. In some ways, it was like it. It was like it in the fact, Kidin Rezov, the bole. Just like the coins, the images on the coins projected outwards, so too did the tzitz, Kodesh Lashem, project outwards. But it wasn't formed in the same way as the Din Rezov. Below Kidin Rezov, because the Din Rezov, the Ilu Hasam Tochos, they were Chok Tochos. They were just pressing down when the mold made these coins, it just pressed down the surrounding areas other than the image, so the image was left in relief standing, but everything else was pushed down. That's not called writing. That's Chok Tochos. As opposed to with the tzitz, Hacha Yurechos. The tzitz was made in a way that you pushed it in from the inside and it projected outward from the other side. So therefore, it really wasn't just chok tochos, it was actually pushed out. And that's really considered writing. And that's why the tzitz, which needed to be pituchei chosam, also was considered valid writing. Now, Amar Ravina Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Roshma, this coin that we have, the image that's projecting outward on the coin, is it mechratz choritz? Is it like we just said, is it chok tochos? And you just push down the surrounding area, and what's left in relief is not really written, but it's just pushed down the surrounding area. Or do we say kinufei michnef? Or when you're pressing down the surrounding areas, you're also pushing up the additional gold into the part that was previously thought to be in relief, but now is thicker and taller because of the gold that is pushed up into it. So which one is it? Is it chok tachos, michrat scharitz, or is it also considered really writing, o kinufe michnef, that you added gold to the projected out part, the image that's going out, the picture that's going out, and therefore that's actually considered writing. So I'm a lay, so Ravina asks this question to Ravashi, so Ravashi responds to Ravina, Michra Charetz, it really is Chok Tochos, it just is Michra Charetz, it's just pressing down the surrounding area, you haven't really heaped up or added on to the area that is a relief. Ravina questions this, and he says, wait a second, Eisvei, the Brisa tells us, Loya Kesavu Shokeya, the tzitz on the Kohen Gadol, as we just said, wasn't written in relief over here, it wasn't pushed down, Ela Bolek, it didn't raise off, it was pushed out, like didn't raise off. So if you're telling me it's like Dinrei Zav, and you're telling me that Dinrei Zav are Chok Tochos, it's Michrat Scharitz, then we got a problem. If you're telling me that it's Chok Tochos, it's Michrat Scharitz, and nothing is projecting outwards, but you need the tzitz to be, as we turn to Chof Omid Beis, Ha-Bo'ino Michtov, it's here, it's the Rashi that says it needs to be Pituche Chosam, and therefore it shouldn't be good, Veleka. So how can you tell me this is good? So again, same terms we gave a minute ago, Kidin Rezov, below Kidin Rezov. In some ways it was like the Din Rezov, but in other ways it was not. It was like the Din Rezov that it projected outwards, but it wasn't like the Din Rezov in how it was formed to project outwards. Kidin Rezov, the Bolet, yes. However, below Kidin Rezov, in the way it was made, the Luhaso Migavoy, because in the case of the coins, they just pushed down on the surrounding area of the image, so it looks like it's built up, but it's not built up, it's everything else is pushed down, and it's in relief, the image is in relief. But here, with the tzitz, as I pointed out before, they pushed it on the inside, and it pushed outward, that's why it projected outwards, and therefore, that is considered actual kesiva, and fulfilling pituche chosam. Mark continues and says, "Boy, minay Rav Mir Nachman. Rav asks Rav Nachman the following shaila: what happens if a man writes a get for his wife? Cause of law get. Man writes a get for his wife, and he puts it on al tas shozov. He puts it on a plate of gold, and he writes the get. He engraves the gold, perfectly good writing, and he gives her the entire gold get. Now that's worth a lot of money. And he tells her, this is your get, but it's also your ksuba. It's both. His kabli gitech. Go and accept your get." And realize that this is worth a tremendous amount of money. It's also your ksuba. Viskabli kesuva sech. Is this good or not? Mahu. Does she, in fact, consider getting her get and her ksuba together, or is this not acceptable? Because the get isn't really being given to her. It's really a financial payment, and therefore maybe it's not a get. So that's the question that Rabbi asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, no problem. Amalei. Niskablo gita. She, in fact, was makabel her get. And Niskabla Ksubasa, she was also Niskabelas, her Ksuba at the same time. No problem in both of them coming simultaneously. She got her get and her Ksuba at the same time. However, the Gemara says, maybe not. Eisvei, they brought the following Brisa to argue with Rav Nachman. This Brisa says, if the man says to his wife, his Kabli Gitech, the Hashar Luxubasech, if the man goes and gives this golden plate that he engraves the get on, and he says, here's your get, and anything above and beyond the get is, in fact, going to be given to you as your ksuba. So in that situation, the Brisa says, Niskablo gita v'ashar l'ksubasa. She did get her get in that situation, and the extra above and beyond what was needed for the get, that is her for ksuba. That is money that's being paid for her ksuba. Implication being, taimo the ikoshar. That's only because there is leftover money. But you can't say if there's no leftover money, haleka sha'ar lo. That implies that if there was no extra excess besides the actual get itself, that could go for a ksuba. Now, you, Rav Nachman, said that niskablo gita, niskablo ksubasa, without it being extra. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a riot. Who adin, in fact, his brisa would be the same, afogab de lekashar, even if there was nothing extra. He could have just said, hiskable gitech, hiskable ksubasech, like Rav Nachman said. And the brisa, when it says, vashar luksubasech, didn't literally mean hashar. Alright, what's the chiddush of the brisa? V'akam ashulon, the chiddush is, the afal gav the ikar shor, even though there's extra here, as long as he says, this is for your ksuba, if he says, this is for your ksuba, luksuba sech, hasha luksuba sech, then it does satisfy the financial obligation to pay for a ksuba. But, Elo, if he didn't say v'hashar luksubasech, he just says hiskabli gitech, and in that situation she accepts it, and then later on he wants to say, oh, by the way, I paid you. That was the golden plate that I gave you with your ksuba on it. No, then if you didn't specify it at that time, no, it doesn't count as the payment. Why not? My timer, because Avira de Megilto, because all the extra gold is just like the margins, the extra paper that's blank when you give a get on a piece of paper. So the extra paper that doesn't have words written on it, surrounding blank spaces, you can't say, well, that's a financial payment. So to wear the gold, even though the gold is very valuable, that's like the spaces in between the letters, and that's part of the get. And unless you specify by Shailuk Shubasech, that's the Chiddush of the Braisa. If you specify it in, if you don't, lo. So that's the Chiddush of the Braisa. It doesn't go against Rav Nachman. Whereas, based on that, the following, tell her about the following Braisa. Harei Zegitech, if a man says to his wife, here is your get, but I want to retain the paper that it's written on. So here's your get. You divorce with this get, but the paper is mine. In that situation, it's not a get because he didn't give her anything. You have to give her the get. He can't just give her the writing on the get. You have to give her the get. But if he said, I'm giving you this get, I want it back. He says, I'm giving it to you. Amanas shetachziri li esanir. Eventually, I want you to give me back the paper. So you own the paper now. It's a matana, but amanas lahachzir. It's a present that I'm giving it to you, but you expect I'm expecting you to give it back to me. So, in that situation, harei zumigureshes, that is considered a valid matana. It's a matana amanas lahachzir, just like by sukkah, that type of a matana works. So too over here, that type of a matana works, and it's not a problem. So therefore, this is a perfectly good, valid get, even though she has to give it back. By Rapapa asks, what about if a person were to give it the get to his wife, and he says, I want the blank spots that aren't part of the get given back to me. Ben shita l'shita, or ben teva l'teva, I want that. I'm not giving that to you. That's the blank spaces are all mine. My, is that considered that he gave her a valid get or did he not give her a valid get? Gemara says, Teku. We don't have an answer to that question. We don't know. Gemara says, why don't we answer it the following way? V'tebuklei, that this is not considered a single get. It has to be the Kosav law, Sefer Krisus, which implies one get. And if you're telling me you have all these spaces over here and you'd cut them off and give them back to the husband, so then it's like he gave her three different gittin. V'tebuklei, since it has to be the Kosav law, Sefer Krisus, the Sefer Echad is implied, Amar Rachmana, v'lo shnayim u'shlosha svarim. If you cut off all the spaces and give them back to the husband, so then it's like he gave her three different gittin, any number of different gittin, and you have to give her one get. You can't give her multiple gittin. So the Gemara says, no. Lo tzricha dima'ore. We're dealing over here with it's not multiple gittin. There is very little spaces. As Rashi brings down, we're dealing over here with a type of a get that, in fact, has no spaces in it. In Dibra Maslow dima'ore, Rashi says, Ma'ora b'miktsas. It only has some spaces there. Shoyubo osios aruchin hamagin mishita l'shita. It has a very big lamed that reaches up to the next line, so there's no space between this line and the next line. And barosh kol teva v'teva. Or it has long nuns that go down to the line below that. So therefore, it has a kuf or a nun that goes all the way down, and therefore, there is no spaces over here, and one line goes right into the next line, and therefore, it's not really considered like it's two or three gittin. Therefore, our original question, being shita l'shita, or being teva l'teva, my, there is some space in between them, but not enough that you could cut it off, so then, take it. We're left with no answer. Now the Gemara discusses, by Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama asks the following shailah, hayu muchzakim bi'evet shu shelo. There was a certain Evet Kenani that belonged to Yankel. He owned that slave. And he writes, v'get kosuv ayodo, he writes on that slave's hand, the get for the man's wife, for Yankel's wife, now we have no witnesses that this slave was given over to this woman, but now she comes with the slave and she claims that I was given the get by my husband. But we have no Ede Masira. We have no witnesses to this. So is this in fact a valid get? She owns this Evet. She says this Evet is mine now. My husband gave it to me and therefore you see the get on it. So it was given from my husband to me. Mahu, do we believe her or not? Do we say, mi amrinon aknuye aknilo? Do we say that the husband actually gave her over this evet, and that's why she has it? Or do we say, no, Dilma, oh, Dilma, hu minav sheyayel? This slave is a thinking, talking human being. He can go on his own. And he left the husband's house and just went to the wife's house. Maybe the husband originally wrote it on his hand, but he intended not to give it to her. He changed his mind. But now, the slave went to the wife. So, in this situation, she really was never given the get, and therefore she's not divorced. That's Rami Bar Chama's question. So Rava wants to answer it. He says, Amar Rava, v'tebukle. Rava wants to slug the whole thing up by saying, why don't we say that this is diksav shiyocho lizdayifu? That this is handwriting on the guy's arm. You can erase it and then rewrite anything you want. If it's by definition, a type of a parchment or a Eved's hand that can be erased, so then it's not valid even if we did have witnesses for the Eid Mesira. It has to be a document that can't be erased, like we pointed out. If it's a parchment, it has to have the gall nut juice on it so you can detect erasures. It has to be something that is permanent writing, indelible marking, and here you wrote with a magic marker on his hand, he could wash it off and then write a new thing on his hand. So this is no good, Rebbe wants to say, regardless of whether the Eved was given to her or not, it's no good. Mar says, wait a second, Rabbah, you're arguing with a Mishnah. Ulu Rabbah, Kashim Asnisan, our Mishnah said, Alayat Shalevit, it's perfectly good. So, Rabbah, you're an Amora, how can you argue with a Mishnah? Mar says, no, that's not a problem. Bishlam Asnisan, Ulu Rabbah, Lokasha, you could easily say that Rabbah's not bothered by our Mishnah because he says our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that Ede Mesira Karti. So, therefore, Bishlam Asnisan, Ulu Rabbah, Lokasha, be Ede Mesira of Rabbi Elazar. Because in our Mishnah, where we said, Al Hayad Shalevin, it's good, is because you have the Eidei Mesira that are testifying over here, yes, this is a valid get written on his hand, and the hand, the parchment, is not the critical thing. It's the Eidei Mesira that are effectuating the get, and not the writing that's on the get. And therefore, Rava has no problem with the Mishnah, but Taka, Ella, the Rabbi Bar Chama, what does he hold? Kasha, according to him, he's saying over here, there are no witnesses. Is this a good get or not? Do we say that the slave was given over by the husband or the slave went over on his own? So Rabbi Bar Chama is clearly not talking about our Mishnah being like Rabbi Elazar, that it's Eidei Mesira Karti. So Rava's question on Rabbi Bar Chama is a very good question. Mara says, no. The Rabbi Bar Chama, Nami Lokasha, our Mishnah, seems to say it has to be indelible. So according to Rabbi Bar Chama, it is indelible. You know why? Because we're talking about a tattoo. Biksoves kaka. We're dealing here that he tattooed the get on the guy's hand. That can't be erased. You can't erase a tattoo. And therefore, that's why it's good. And therefore, that's a valid question now. Do we say that the husband definitely gave the slave over? Or did the slave on his own go over? And therefore, it was never given over by the husband? That's Rami Bar Chama's valid question. And Gemara says, now that you're giving us this answer about Kesovas Kaka, so then you're not forced to say that Rabbah holds that the Mishnah goes only according to Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Mesira Karti. No, it could even be Rabbi Meir. Hashem, the Osas Lachi, now that you're giving us this answer of Kesovas Kaka, so Masnisin, Nami Lo Tikshe, Lerava, Nami Lo Tikshe, or without the word Lerava. It's also not a problem because you're dealing with Kesovas Kaka, so it doesn't have to be that it is an opinion of only Rabbi Elazar that Eidei Mesira Karti. Gemara says, no, what's the answer? Rabbi Bar Chama asked a good question. Might have a law. How do we answer it? So Gemara says, I'll show you from the following. Toshma, the Amar Reish Lakish, Hagodros Ein Lev Chazaka. Reish Lakish answered this question already by saying that a Godros, which refers, Rashi says, to Behemos, Alshem Gidros Tzon, animals which have free will to move about, you can't make a Chazaka. You find the sheep, you can't say, here, possession is 9/10 of the law because I have the sheep in my possession. No, the sheep may have left on its own Yankel's property and came to your property. And therefore, with something Reish Lakish says that is Godros, it's movable property that moves on its own, so then you can't make a chazaka in this fashion. So therefore, just the fact that the wife has this Eved, so to say, in her possession, you can't necessarily state that the husband gave it to her. The Eved could have gone on his own. Another question that Rabbi Bar Chama asks is the following. By Rabbi Bar Chama, how you mulsakin bitav lo shi shalah? You know for a fact that this certain type of a tavla, this certain type of a tablet, belonged to the wife. And now, it has the get kosuleh. The husband wrote the get on it. That's not in doubt. The question is, v'harihi yotza mitachas yodo. The tablet now is in the husband's hand. He wrote the get on it, and now he gives it to the wife. So, mahu, what is the halach in this situation? Do we say, mi amrinon, Aknuye aknisole, that he made a valid kinyan on this tavla, so it belongs to him, and now we can give it to her? Or do we say, no, odilma? Now, we have the word isha over here, but it really isn't correct, as we'll see later on, we're going to mention isha. So here it's just, odilma lo yada li aknuye. The Marshal deletes over here the word isha, and he says, maybe lo yada li aknuye, that not only the fact that she's a woman, but just a kinyan wasn't done. Maybe they didn't realize that a kinyan had to be made. So she said, here's my tablet, go write on it. He wrote on it and gave it to her, but it never was his. And therefore, it wasn't good because he never made a kinyan on it. Or do we say, no, everybody knows that he had to make a kinyan on it, and therefore, it is a perfectly good get if he gives it to her. That's Rami Rachama's question. Shmar says, Amar Abaya, Abaya says, I'll show you the answer from the following. Toshma, we learn in the following Mishnah, it said, Af hu hayid. Now, what is this referring to? So this is a Mishnah in Edios, and Rashi tells us This is Rav Yehuda ben Bava was the one that said this. However, if you look in the Mishnayos and Edios, and in fact the Rashash corrects this over here, as do others, it actually should be Rav Chanina Skan Kohen Gadol. He was the one that said this. In any event, Af Hu Eid, either Lekirsa that we have, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, but more correctly, it should be Rav Chanina Skan Kohen Gadol. He said, he testified, Al Kfar Kotan Sher Betzad Yushalayim, about a small little village that was next to Yushalayim, and there was a nice person in that village, Rayabo Zokin Echad, an elderly man who was a very big Talmud Chacham, and he was very nice, and he would lend all the people money over there, and he would write the shtar out in his own hand, and other people would sign on it. And the way Rashi says he did this was in order that they would become obligated to him. By their owning this, they would be obligated to him. So now, that's the way Rashi understands this, that he gave it over to them, and now they own this, and therefore they obligated themselves to pay him back. And this Maisa came in front of the Chachamim, and they said, this was a perfectly good kinyan over here. This was a perfectly good way of doing it. Now, that's the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos has a different way of understanding it. Tosfos says that we actually were dealing with the other people wrote this, and the man accepted it from them. In either way, the bottom line is there had to be a kinyan made over here that the real person who owned this get had to have this from his own property. So the Gemara now questions, how come the rabbis, v'hichshiru, why did the rabbis say that this was good? V'yamai, after all, ha'bo'ina, sefer, mikna, you need to have over here that it is owned by the person. This is based, Rashi tells us, on the famous pasuk from Yirmiyo, where Yirmiyo was kone. He had a shtar mechira from his uncle's son, Hanamel ben Shalom Dodcha. So Hanamel was his cousin, Shalom was his uncle. And he made a kinyan on this field to tell the people, don't worry, we're coming back after 70 years of Golus, we're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Make shtaros, don't think you're giving up the field forever. So that's called the Sefer Mikna. He wrote this document, but it has to come from the person who is benefiting, so to say, from the document being written. So here, in this case, this person wrote it, this Zokin wrote it, but the other people were the ones that seemed to be getting the benefit from it. And therefore, it didn't fulfill this idea. Mustn't it be Elalav Mishum Diamrinan Aknuye Maknalu? He actually gave it over to them, like Rashi understood, or the way Tosfos understood it, they gave it over to him. Bottom line is Diamrinan Aknuye Maknalu. So there was a transfer over here. So just like there was a transfer over here, so too we can say that the husband understood that he needed to acquire the tablet of his wife in order to be able to write a get on it and give it to her. So let's bring a Rashi from there. That's what he wants to suggest. That's what Abaye tells us, but Rava says not necessarily so. Amar Rava, Umay Kusha, how can you tell me over here that that's what happened? Dilma, maybe, in return to Chafalaf Amud Aleph, Zakein Shiny. This was a huge Talmud Chacham over here. He knew the Yoda Liaknuye. But who says that the man and the woman knew to make this Kenyan? Shemar says, El Amar Rava. So Rava himself said, Mehacha. No, you can bring the riot from here. It tells us elsewhere, this is a Mishnah Bava Basra, Arev, if there's a guarantor to a loan. And he only wrote his guarantee on the loan after it had already been signed. Hayotzeli achar chitum shtaros. So in this situation, you can't collect from nechasim mishubadim because nobody will know about this, but goveh min nechasim b'necharim. This is valid that you'll be able to go collect from this guarantor from his extant properties. Now, this was for the benefit of the other people, and therefore there was no kinyan made. Must be that this is valid because we say goveh min nechasim b'necharim, that we assume that a valid kinyan was made. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. Amar Vashi, Rashi says, how can you say that? My Kusha, how can you tell me that there's no problem over here? Maybe Dilmo, Gavra Shiny. In this case, with the guarantor, he's a man. The Yodal Yaknuya. Men were in the business world, and they knew how to make these kinyanim. But who says that the wife over here knew to make a kinyan to give the tablet to her husband? So the answer is, El Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says that the answer to Rami Bachama's question is the following, Mehocha. Yes, Isha Kosevis is Gita, a woman knows this, and she's allowed to write her own get, and then give it over to her husband, V'ish Kosev is Shovro, he can even write the receipt. Each of them is writing something for their own benefit, and they have to give it over to the other person. Because we say, Shein Kiyama Get, Ela B'Chosmav, the get, when it will be signed, is going to validate it. And therefore, the man and the woman, both of them know the need to make a valid kinyan over here. And therefore, in Rabbi Bar Chama's question, did the man acquire the tablet or not? We have the right to say that definitely the man acquired the tablet. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.